questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. Leadership carries a load of responsibility when it comes to igniting meaningful change. But it's not a solitary endeavor. When the leader is able to make a vision of change matter to others as well, they can then act as a collective to realize it. This Unify question gets to the important question of their reach. Jonathan, please answer the next Unify card.
Who can they share this with to help ignite this change? Who can they share this with to help ignite this change? Who are they connected with? What are their networks of influence with the will and drive to help evoke this change? The people that I've had in my mind over the last 24 hours in our conversation, and who I've not named, there's no need to do that, but I have a very clear sense of where they sit in my world. We know that geographically they're in Brussels, Copenhagen, and to a small degree in Nottingham.
London,
yes, well said. And for me, that means the question here, who can they share this with, is reasonably straightforward, because they themselves, if I look at the range of people here, they have, because they are part of institutions, because they are part of networks within these cities, they will be very natural gateways, I think, to other people, the people that I need to meet. And so I'm thinking of people who have launched and bravely run their own non-governmental organizations, starting from zero. And I have huge admiration for them.
Those, for the benefit of listeners, are often just referred to as NGOs.
Yes.
Non-governmental
organizations, yes. Often, I mean, a lot of the people I know, they are in some way nurturing, protecting, expanding our democracy in some way.
Wow.
Finding new models of democracy, finding ways to re-energize our democracy from the grassroots, or in some cases to protect our democracy from external threat. So a range of people who are working in that non-governmental sector.
So draw a line for us between them and your vision. What's the relationship?
I think the relationship is that my vision will have, no matter how new it is, my vision will have a certain natural affinity with the visions of other people, and that's completely normal and right, I think. As we've said before, when we stand on new ground, we're not standing on a new planet. We're standing on new ground, but we're not on a new planet. So in terms of the vision itself and the spirit of the vision and what it's seeking to achieve, it will have cousins already out there, I think, in the world, where there is some natural affinity. These are people also, of course, who will hold priceless experience of having gone through the creation of a new organization.
To hear you reference individuals who have started their own NGOs.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yes, they've had invaluable, priceless experience that you can draw on.
Yeah. And I've seen them suffer.
Suffer in terms
With the sheer the weight that they carry, sometimes alone.
Yeah. Because do they too have a vision?
Yes.
Yes. Of creating something that isn't yet.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And in some way speaking to some urgency in a way that others aren't. I've seen the loneliness.
These are people then of action.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Absolutely that.
Committed action.
Yes. Utterly mm-hmm. committed. So to this question here, who can they share this with? They will have, I think, all sorts of people within their networks, if not within their organization, depending on the size of their organization, who could potentially help to ignite the change. Similarly, political institutions, the institutions of the European Union, here there's a natural limit because, as in any political institution, those individuals, they remain private citizens with their own freedoms to have their own opinions and to use their free time as they wish. But still, there's a duty that comes with their positions that can impose certain constraints, which are correct, on their ability perhaps to take positions on certain things. It depends how public they are. But I'm just saying, somebody who's working in a major international institution, a public institution, they wouldn't expect this, but they can't simply open up a network. You know, these things have to be done with care, and you have to respect the institutions. And I'm saying this as somebody who worked within one of those institutions. That's why I've got a little bit of want to keep a little bit of distance and respect there. But yes, nonetheless, there are, as in any major capital city, you have the institutions of government, and then you have the whole world around that with all sorts of interesting people either seeking to influence the political institutions or hold them.
As in lobbyists?
For example, but also hold them to account. Journalists, investigative journalists, people who are creating new ideas, so that's the think tanks, and then the political parties. So campaigning organizations. Some of the NGOs I mentioned earlier, some of them are, as we know, the Amnesty Internationals and the Greenpeaces of this world are very, really robust, incredibly, I want to say, powerful in the sense of their ideas and what they stand for, even before we come to the extent to which they exert influence and bring about change. But these are incredibly, in my eyes, very good, vital parts of our democracy. So the cities that we're talking about here, Brussels, London, Copenhagen, London, that they are a rich ecosystem of ideas and minds and political forces. And so thanks to the primarily the 25 years that I lived and worked in Brussels, there are people I can talk to and which will open up gateways and pathways to further groups of people and so on and beyond. So,
and you're willing to connect and to speak with them.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
That is your network.
It is now. I really want to bring that same, this, and it will take time, but I have the same desire to at some point have a similar network here in Copenhagen. It will probably it will take a different shape here in Copenhagen. I think it will perhaps be more rightly. It will be more at the grassroots level because I, for various reasons, I can't see myself in the institutions here. It would take a long time. I might do one day. I might well become a Dane one day, but that's some way off. So until then, I think I would be perhaps more at the level of the grassroots here. People who are themselves a little more distant from the political institutions. And as I said earlier at some point, I don't want to rule out people who have nothing to do with politics, you know, the artistic community in some way, but certainly the cultural movement. That's very important for me, not only because of my own personal view of the very good and healthy relationships between culture in the broadest sense and politics in the broadest sense.
And given that shared home concept, it'll be multicultural.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yes.
So it's really important.
Right. Well said. Yes, there is a risk, big risk, I think, that in any community, if you focus too narrowly on the political institutions, as we know, many cultural voices, ethnicities, are underrepresented in our political institutions.
Because so they're not part of the system.
Right. So there's a risk there. Mm-hmm. So this is one aspect of let's go back to the word strategy at this stage, where...
And this is strategic, absolutely.
Yes, where I think I can use some of the resources that I already have in my own hands and these networks that we're talking about here, particular individuals and what they're trying to do and who they represent. I think is a good starting point for me. And I can, just going back to those four groups of action at the beginning, so the sounding board... The people who would then in group two bring ideas to the table about how to express the vision beyond language. Mm-hmm. So people who might have that artistic bend or an aesthetic or audiovisual inclination. And then in the third group, the people who would open up spaces, platforms to have the focus groups, the kitchen table discussions about the vision and how we take this forward. And then in that fourth group, funding, people with ideas about possible forms of models of funding. Yeah. I can see, I already have in my head now faces and names who can open the first doors in each of those categories. You know, I would today, without asking their permission in any way, and that's why I'm not naming anybody, but I know I've got a short list already in my mind of people that I could at the very least have a first good serious conversation with on all of those in all of those four areas. So this part of the strategy is no sense of complacency here, but I would feel on sort of solid ground here.
Excellent. And that is a huge advantage.
Sure.
You will be forming a collective comprised of these people and their people, etc. So to actually have a base on which to start, base camp even, of people. Jonathan, in your words, share why it's important, this question is important, that you have those who can share with view to helping you ignite this change.
My first thought here is that it's a big part of that, the need to act, to start and to act, to begin somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Begin to spark.
Yes.
Because you can't ignite until...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A spark won't last.
Yeah.
Ignition is where it's fully ignited.
Yes.
So to begin.
Yes. And then through that, the conversation brings some of the things we've talked about in the under the previous cards, the beginnings of exchange, offers, requests, commitments, deadlines. So you're walking into a space which is begins to have commitments between the people.
Yeah,
which brings its own momentum,
right?
And sense of energy.
Well, when they have connections, first of all, they're credible. Right? You know they're credible.
Yes.
Not only because of where they are affiliated with various institutions, for example, but they're credible by virtue, as you've just qualified, these are people of action committed to this part of all of your vision in whatever way. So they're already credible. You're credible to them. They have credibility to you. And then they are further credible to those they go out to, as those they go out to are credible to them.
Yeah.
It's a screening, in effect, that allows you, all of you, in number and caliber, to proliferate more quickly. So if this were a popcorn metaphor, it would begin to pop.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea of screening. It's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add?
No.
I think you've covered it.
As I said, there is. You have to have something that feels a little bit more comfortable than the rest,
and exactly.
You have to have some resources already within your hand.
And the fact that A, you do, but B, what was it you said? You wouldn't even hesitate. You know, to reach out, like you're going to them.
Sure.
There's no pause there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you wouldn't be concerned about doing so, reaching out to them and having that initial conversation.
That's right. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. This conversation surfaced a number of traits essential to those in the collective that can help ignite a leader's meaningful change. When asked who can they share his vision with to help realize it, Jonathan spoke briefly of his unnamed inner circle, those he wouldn't even have to ask permission from. And next, he identified those who are cousins of his vision. They already share the same values and are running their own organizations that reflect the need to stand the world on new ground, in Jonathan's parlance. Not only do they have invaluable experience to contribute, they demonstrate the kind of committed action necessary to make change real. The other significant trait that surfaced is that of credibility. Theirs and Jonathan's both. Like attracts like. So a collective of credible people who act can grow in numbers quickly and expand into a mighty collective. It also mitigates the infusion of those who can put change at risk by moving too slowly or not at all. As Jonathan said, carrying the weight of change by yourself can be lonely and painful. Finding those who not only act themselves, but will share it with their own networks can make a world of difference. The leader's journey continues. Stay tuned. If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the Leader's Journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.